You're listening to SBS News.
US President Biden's administration is running a series of meetings to plot a path forward following the Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, a 1973 case in which the court ruled that the Constitution of the United States conferred the right to have an abortion. The decision to overturn that original ruling has passed the decision on whether a woman is allowed to have a termination back to individual states. That's resulted in abortion bans in 11 states, 2 states where abortion is prohibited after 6 weeks of pregnancy, and 9 states that limit access in other ways. At one of the planned meetings in Washington, Vice President Kamala Harris says the decision has fundamentally affected the rights of women.
We know that with the Supreme Court having made the decision in Dobbs to take a constitutional right that had been recognized from the people of America, from the women of America, has created a healthcare crisis in America and has highlighted the fact that, as we all know, we must be vigilant and we must stand shoulder to shoulder to ensure that every voice is represented in a way that allows them equal access to all that they need to thrive. And this moment post-Dobbs highlights the fact that we still have a lot of work to do.
Alexis McGill-Johnson is the president of Planned Parenthood, which was one of America's largest chains of abortion providers, and she agrees that the Supreme Court decision has created a healthcare crisis.
Every week, the abortion landscape changes. Appointments have to be rescheduled. Patients have to secure new options, which often means traveling further, delaying time-sensitive care, or foregoing care and being forced into pregnancy. Planned Parenthood, we just did an analysis of the last year of SB 8 in Texas, and the average distance our patients have traveled is 400 miles by car. And that's just out of Texas, with a Texas zip code. We've seen an increase of 550% of patients out of state in just Texas. There's also confusion. Providers, hospitals, administrators, pharmacists have had to become lawyers in order to interpret what these bans mean for their patients, whether that's when and how to dispense medicine, or whether to send patients home when their pregnancies are no longer viable to wait for sepsis to set in.
She says abortion is part of normal health care, but the bans have been introduced because of stigma.
Powerful, invisible weapons used to isolate and intimidate patients keep people fearful and justified laws that take away our freedom.
In Washington, while Democratic President Joe Biden supports abortion, Democrats hold narrow majorities in the House and Senate, advantages that could be wiped out after the midterm elections in November. Democrats in the House have already voted to pass a bill that would make abortion legal nationwide, but they've been unable to get the bill past an evenly divided Senate. Abortion rights groups feel an urgency to act, especially with bans and restrictions in place in a majority of states. Nancy Northrup, the CEO and president at the Center for Reproductive Rights, says the U.S. has taken a backward step.
The decision is out of step with global trends. We are standing virtually alone in regressing on abortion rights throughout the world. In the last 30 years, 60 countries have liberalized their abortion laws, and it is understood in those countries, whether it's by legislation or it's by court decisions, that access to abortion care, decisions about abortion, are a fundamental issue of gender equality.
About 6 in 10 U.S. adults say abortion should be legal in most cases, and abortion access is becoming increasingly important to voters, according to the Pew Research Center. Shalindon Hollingshead from the National Urban League of Young Professionals says the bans are a major civil rights issue.
We know this decision is part of a larger anti-civil rights, anti-women's rights movement that seeks to harm our democracy as a whole. It is no surprise that states with abortion bans and strict limits in place are the same states suppressing the right to vote.
Advocates are headlining the case of Kaylee DeSaint, a woman from Texas who had been passionately anti-abortion. She and her husband were overjoyed when she fell pregnant, only to learn that their baby had heart, lung, brain, kidney, and genetic defects and would either be stillborn or die within minutes of birth. On top of that, carrying him to term put Kaylee at high risk for severe pregnancy complications, including blood clots, preeclampsia, and cancer. Under the new laws, she couldn't obtain an abortion in Texas, so they crossed the border into New Mexico. She spoke to CNN.
How could you be so cruel as to pass a law that you know will hurt women and that you know will cause babies to be born in pain, he was going to die a painful death. So how is that humane? How is that saving anybody?
Many anti-abortion groups dispute the need for abortions, and some supporters, like Mike Gonikardis of Ohio Right to Life, told PBS the answer is for more resources to be poured into social services.
We need to ensure that we have the greatest social service safety net here in the state of Ohio to help all women, especially women who find themselves in an unintended pregnancy. And we believe if we continue these common sense approaches at our city, county, and state level, the resources are there to ensure every woman who finds themselves in an unintended pregnancy will have everything they need to have a healthy baby and raise their child or place their child for adoption.
Alan Lee, SBS News.